Hello and hi, welcome to Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and today my guest is writer-director Matt Schrader, whose newest project is something dear to my heart, Score, a film music documentary, which will be in theaters on June 16th. And everybody here knows how big a fan I am of film scores, so welcome to the show, Matt, and I will try not to geek too much over you.
Thank you. No, thank you so much for having me.
Now, like I said, film scores are near and dear to my heart. I mean, my favorites are from Magnificent Seven, the original Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica, Game of Thrones. Just like everybody else. So what was it that drew you to create this film?
Well, I think a lot of people love film scores more than even they'll admit. You know, it seems like all of my friends really had an appreciation of film scores, even though they wouldn't really talk about it. I think it was something that maybe you listen to at the gym, or, you know, you listen to when you're working on something else. But a lot of people, I mean, it's music that's created to stir our emotions in different ways. And there's something that's really powerful about that, it being music specifically made to provoke our feelings about about a film, but the music itself has that characteristic too. And you know, all music is made to give a certain feeling, but a lot of times that feeling is a byproduct. It's not the main point of the music. And when you talk about film scores, that's what a composer sets out to do, is to allow the audience to feel something that's really powerful and you know, a part of the story. So that was a really interesting idea to us early on, and we thought that if there's some way that some of the composers will let us into their studios and reveal their secrets to us, that that's something that hopefully a lot of other people would enjoy as well.
Well, I, for one, am one of those people. I like how you started off as more of an exploration of the history between the connection of film and music, how the early composers literally took film to another level by adding the music to it. And then you transition to today's composers who were influenced by those early composers because of the movies they saw when they were a kid that inspired them. And then they have gone on to a new creative process with a wider range of tools, both conventional and electronic, and the way that flowed and just built upon each composer, each method, was just fascinating to me.
Yeah, one of the main things that we wanted to try to capture was, and we didn't know this starting out, but we wanted to be able to capture the evolution of film scores and how they start to change. You know, you think about the early years, and when an orchestra first, you know, very early on, there was no music really at all, except it was just a projector, silent films and everything, and everything evolved, and eventually an orchestra came in. But all the orchestras that were in use early on, that was all kind of the European orchestral tradition there. And then you started to see a shift and a little bit of a rebellion, you know, in the industry, and people start doing things like using jazz music. And, you know, the James Bond theme is a great example of that, that jazzy sound that was not an orchestra playing that. That's a jazz band playing that. And then, you know, it starts to evolve into different things. I can hardly imagine a James Bond movie that doesn't use anything that sounds jazzy at all, because it's so linked to that image. And I think that evolution's continued in a lot of different ways now today, where you see a lot of electronics being blended in with the orchestra. But thankfully, the power of the orchestra is something that has remained constant with most composers today. And they see that as this you know, this perfectly evolved toolbox of different sounds that they can tap into to try to paint this beautiful picture with music.
And the lineup of composers that you speak to and really dig into their process is literally star-studded. You have Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman, John Williams, Trent Reznor, Howard Shore, among others. And I will admit the end credit sequence where you have James Cameron talking about how James Horner came up with the piano piece in the sketch scene in Titanic actually brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, it was a powerful moment. And you know, James Cameron and James Horner worked together on a handful of films, most notably Titanic and then Avatar, too. The thing that's really interesting, and we touched on this only briefly in the film, but we talked about it a lot in the interviews, is that relationship, the chemistry between a director and a composer. And it's very difficult because you have to build an emotional rapport with each other so that you understand where the other one is coming from, and you know, you can only continue to develop a musical idea if you can understand where you're standing in the first place. You know, which direction do you go from here? And a lot of the really great combinations of directors and composers, you know, Steven Spielberg and John Williams and Christopher Nolan and Hans Zimmer and James Cameron and James Horner and a handful of other duos that are just really, when they work together, you know you're going to get something special, because they've developed this kind of amazing shorthand. And you know, I think that's where it allows a composer to kind of experiment a little bit more and freely come up with this idea that might be a little strange or a little unusual. Or, you know, James Horner put that My Heart Will Go On song, and he recorded the whole thing without ever telling James Cameron. And James Cameron thought it was a stupid idea, and he was like, this is a serious movie, we don't need a song, it's going to make it seem like it's a Disney movie, or it's going to make it seem like it's a... But it didn't do that at all, and I think it was because he trusted, in this case, after the fact, he trusted James Horner's music that it would work in the final cut of the film. When an audience saw it, they would be moved by that song and by the rest of the score. And that's a really cool thing that we wanted to explore.
For you, what was the most interesting or fascinating tidbit you discovered during this process of making this movie?
Well, I never realized that studio musicians only play the music once. they don't rehearse. Sometimes they might play it twice. They might do a second take of it. But it's so expensive to have all those people in a room, and it's organized by people, and you have to have all these engineers there to set up all the microphones. I mean, there's hundreds of microphones sometimes. And then you have to be able to mix those things. And then, you know, of course, you have the composer and you have the director, and they're all taking time away from other things in order to be there for this experience. It's very expensive. So typically what happens is the studio musicians, you'll have 100 people that come into one of these scoring stages, as they're called, and they'll be handed a stack of sheet music, and that's what they're going to play for the next 8 hours with breaks. but that's what they're playing. And so they get to look through the music at that point for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes, and then you're playing it. You know, you're sometimes seeing it for the first time as you're playing, and you have to be able to play it professionally and make it sound like you've rehearsed it for weeks or for months. And that's how good a lot of these musicians are, is they can see something that has, you know, notes and, you know, squiggles and, you know, different notation all over the page, and they're able to play it on the fly and make it sound incredible. And I never realized that. I assumed, just like any concert, you know, they probably rehearsed for a really long time, and get it, you know, exactly the way they want. But no, these are the cream of the crop when it comes to these orchestra musicians, and they can play just about anything. And when they really get in sync and are playing together, it's a incredibly powerful experience.
Now, are these set orchestras? Is it the same group of people? Like in Los Angeles, is it the same orchestra playing together all the time, or are there different musicians moving in and out, and they just hit it right out of the park from the word go?
There's a small group. I would say there's probably, I don't know, there's several hundred musicians that are typically used for something like this, and they'll pull from who's available and who's around and who's in town and, you know, who's not recording on a different movie at a different time. But it's a pretty select group, and they come from all over the world. It's people who you know, have they want to play on movies, and sometimes they're part of other orchestras and things too. But it's this group of people that are so good that the composers love to work with them, and when they have a movie, you know, the composer wants to have them playing their music, and I think that speaks to how talented a lot of these musicians are.
Wow, I always thought they went in and they gathered up one of the symphonic groups and just, you know, people who've practiced together for months at a time, and then just had them play this music. But these are just highly talented musicians who come in for a day, almost like day players, like extras, and then they just sync together and make magic.
Yeah, and I mean, they do play together enough on, you know, there's a lot of films that come out every year, but so they play together a lot, and they start to understand, you know, how different people that they're playing with that day play differently, and so there's a little bit of that, but yeah, for the most part, you know, you never know who you're going to be sitting next to, and sometimes it's a really, you know, you have all of these people there that you may not particularly know that well, but you know that they are incredibly gifted musicians, and it's one of the most thrilling experiences for these studio musicians to be in there and then have this experience of playing this incredibly poetic film score. You know, you're a film score guy, and so there's a certain poetry film score where there's a lot of themes, there's a lot of powerful ways that the music is written, and to be able to play that and be a part of the creation of it is a really fulfilling thing.
Well, as I said, this documentary was fascinating for me and fun. I wish that there, when it comes out on DVD, there's like another hour of extras.
Well, there might be. We have hundreds of hours of material still we have to find a home for. So we'll probably be releasing a lot of that as we do the home video and also online.
Nice.
Because it'd be a waste to just have it die on a hard drive. So I would love for other people to be able to experience a lot of what we did in making the film.
Well, I will definitely keep my fingers crossed for that possibility, but thank you, Matt, for your time today.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
It's Matt Schrader, the writer and director of the new Score, a film music documentary. We'll be in theaters on June 16th. Definitely check it out. If you are a fan of film music or documentaries, I think you will get a few moments of enjoyment out of this. Thank you again, Matt.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, this is Kyle Harris from Fritform Stitchers, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
probably could have talked to Matt for another half an hour or so easily. Film music. I'm not even sure when I fell in love with it, but I think in early viewing of Star Wars. Star Wars, then the original Battlestar Galactica. Probably 5 years before that might have been Magnificent Seven. Then, of course, you get Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in the 80s, let's see, what was it? Streets of Fire. Streets of Fire wasn't really a score. That was a soundtrack. But that was still an underrated but fun movie. And then, of course, you've got the iconic scores like Terminator. Can't forget Terminator. You can never, ever leave out Terminator. Gladiator, too. Gladiator is a stunning one in my book. And then we move on to the television themes, like both Battlestar Galactica's and, of course, Babylon 5 and Firefly, even. But, yeah, I hope Matt gets to realize his vision and puts out a super, super long version of this documentary when it comes to home video. I mean, they made the documentary for, what was it, Freddy's Nightmares? That was 4 hours long on Netflix. That 4 hours, one movie, and that did not include most of the behind-the-scenes stuff, which was a separate disc on the Blu-ray that I actually got to review for that. 4 hours. So yeah, I think we could stand to see a 4-hour home video version of Score. I, for one, would like to see that. I would probably buy it. And I don't think I'm alone in that. But so tell me, what are your favorite movie scores for anything? Science fiction, horror, even the classic scores. Go way back. Dig into your heart and your memories and say, yeah, that's the one. That's the one I remember and I will always play. And yeah, he's right about music scores, because I myself bought the Pacific Rim soundtrack the night I got home from seeing the screening of it. The press screening of it, I went home, I bought the soundtrack on iTunes, I saw the movie in the theater 4 more times, and there have been many a time where I've played that soundtrack just as background music when I'm working on something. Put it on a loop on iTunes, and everything's golden. Not sure yet if I'm going to do the same thing with Wonder Woman. Yes, I've seen the movie. No, I have not seen it a second time, which is on my list of things to do this coming week. And I think that score is on my list. It's not a immediate must-have like Pacific Rim was, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things shake out. But yeah, let me know if there's any songs out there or soundtracks, I should say scores, musical scores, that make your days a little bit brighter when things aren't going all that well for you. So let us know what those songs are, what those scores are. Call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and Krypton Radio. Leave us a review on iTunes or on Stitcher. Let people know that this is a show they should check out. If you're having fun with us, ask other people to join the party. You can follow us on Twitter, Slice of Sci-Fi. You can follow us on Google Plus and YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there, and Slice of Sci-Fi on Facebook. As always, you can also join the conversations on the websites, sliceofscifi.com. You can see two different reviews for The Mummy, which just came out, and the opinions of them, the opinions through both of them are quite similar, although one is expressed with a little bit more, shall we say, angry passion than the other. Both are filled with bitter disappointment. Add your own comment. If you had the misfortune to actually pay money to go see the movie, I'm so, so sorry. Feel free to commiserate here. We also have writersafterdark.com, where there will be a podcast there momentarily, soonish, real soonish, talking with storytellers, not just authors of novels. We're talking short story specialists, comic book writers, screenwriters, stage playwrights. Anybody who writes a story that ends up as entertainment for us, fair game to be talked to. And the net is cast wide. We also have Pop Culture Geeks, where we venture into territories that go beyond just science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Check that out over there. We have mostly movie reviews, but we'll be getting into TV reviews quite soon. Again, popculturegeeks.com, writersafterdark.com, and sliceofscifi.com. If you want to support what we are doing here, please, 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 please add your pledges over at Patreon. Every penny helps. Every dollar helps keep all of this going. So thank you to everyone who is currently a supporter. And if you want to, and if you're not currently a supporter but want to join in, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And in advance, thank you. Thank you for your support. It means a lot. It really does. Thank you also to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for their musical contributions to this show. The theme music they came up with was, I think, awesome. And if the music you hear here is appealing, go check out their website, sci-fried.com, and listen to some more of the songs and albums they've put out. We'll probably have them back on the show soon, is when their new album drops. I'm not sure the exact date of that, but I'm pretty sure it's coming up soon. And that'll do it for this episode, but we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi soon. Take care.